Hello, you are listening to my Monday Midday Monologue. My name is Russ, and this podcast is dedicated to my experiences as an artist in Phoenix, Arizona. And I record this thing on Mondays because it's a great time to reflect on the previous week's events and projects and to plug what's coming up this week. Of course, last week's biggest day was Christmas Day. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, that you spent some quality time doing whatever it is you do to celebrate that reflective, introspective time of year. I myself had a great time with family watching Jason Statham in Wild Card, one of my grandma's favorite movies. Of course, her favorite part is when the female lead threatens to cut off her rapist's penis with a pair of garden shears. And a Happy New Year! Yes, that's how we celebrated part of Christmas at the Kazmierczak household. That's how we do it. Of course, Wild Card was immediately followed by a delicious helping of roast beef, pork, stuffed chicken breast, eggplant, lasagna, vegetarian lasagna this year, which was an interesting addition to the menu. Baked zucchini. My grandma cooks for 20 people, whether there are 2 or 20 people present. And we were close to 20 this year, so that was fun. But what with it being Christmas week, there weren't a lot of artistic activities that I participated in. I was grateful to just get some projects underway, including inking on Amazing Arizona Comics number 19, which will drop next year. What? Of course, that means in like a week. No, it's coming out in January, and it will star Santa Claus in an attempt to maintain the reason for this season, the spirit of the holidays all year long. I'm launching a mega arc in Amazing Arizona Comics. That's not to say you have to buy number 19 to enjoy number 20. Each issue will still have its own identity, as I tend to do. But each issue will also star Santa Claus in this year-long experience he'll have alongside Arizona superheroes, just experiencing a bit of the real world, getting back in touch with humanity. You know, St. Nicholas was truly once a man, a St. Nicholas, that dwelt among regular people, doing good deeds, and from his legacy, we have this legend of Santa Claus. That's a long road, and I hope to just make a minute impact with my mega arc in Amazing Arizona Comics. So there's a plug, but of course, you could find out more about Amazing Arizona Comics always and often at Amazing AZ Comics on Instagram or on AmazingArizonaComics.com. So that was last week in a nutshell. Over the weekend, my girlfriend and I went to Cottonwood, Arizona for a little respite. And we went to this place called Elefante, which is an artist's community just off the beaten path in Cornville. And what an adventure it was just to get to this place. You gotta hop in a boat and pull yourself along a line across what I presume to be a channel of Oak Creek Canyon. I'm not sure. It's a babbling brook. It had a strong current. The water was high, maybe from melting snow up in Flag. I have no idea what the science of this is. But the water was high. There was a strong current. You got to pull yourself on a line in a little boat. We bumped into a couple from San Francisco, and they joined us in the adventure. I don't know how the two of us would have done it alone. So fortunately, the four of us were able to pull it off. And once we got across the river, we enjoyed touring Elefante, which, again, is some sort of artist's community. I'm not sure how to describe it. You can Google it and see pictures. But it's basically a man-made series of structures built from the natural resources of the area in conjunction or cooperation with glass mosaic, stained glass sculpture. It's really a sight to see. And the Google imagery it doesn't give it justice. You got to kind of go. They have open houses once a month, so keep an eye on their Facebook, Elefante, with a PH. Right? Did I need to tell you that? I don't know, but now there's no excuse. You can look it up, proper spelling, and enjoy this place in Cornville, Arizona. Man, that's why I love living in Arizona so much. There are so many crazy little corners of the state that are rife and ripe for exploration. And I'm not even like a big hiking guy, but I got some juice out of pulling our boat across that little channel of Oak Creek. It was a lot of fun. My girlfriend was scared, but we survived, and we're telling the story now for generations to come. That day we braved the Whitewater Rapid to go see some hippies in the middle of the desert. So I encourage everybody to check that out. That's what we did. That was basically last week's artistic endeavor. Can't really think of anything else I did other than, like I say, draw, record a podcast, this, that, and the other thing. This week is an exciting one because it ends 2015, launches 2016, and I'm already scheduling events for the new year, which is super exciting as an artist to stay busy. But also, to, you know, you spend so much time at the drawing board, you got to get that stuff in front of people. And so in January, I already have two exciting opportunities to do that. I'll talk about the first one in a second. But Wednesday, December 30th, is an important day, too. Not that I have anything planned as far as artistic endeavors go, but I'm definitely going to go karaokeing because December 30th is the birthday of not one but two of the Monkees. If you know me at all, you know that the Monkees, the band from the 60s that had a TV show, or maybe the TV show that turned into a band. The debate continues. But they are a huge influence on my life to this day. And Davy Jones, who passed away back in 2012, and Mike Nesmith, whom I met shortly thereafter Davy's passing, their birthday, they have a shared birthday. It's this Wednesday, December 30th. So a couple of years ago... When my brother was in town, we went to five different karaoke joints on December 30th to celebrate birthday by singing Daydream Believer at each one. We recorded the whole thing. I really hope to edit that footage into a small documentary about the experience someday because it was a lot of fun. But of course, when you do something so concentrated like that, you bump into similarly minded people. They just come out of the woodwork. I mean, spoiler alert here for the end of the documentary I haven't made yet, but when we went to George and Dragon to conclude the evening, I ended up singing Daydream Believer practically at the stroke of midnight. So it was the end of Davy's birthday proper. And we were in a British pub to boot, so that kind of made it all the more poignant. But this woman came up to me at the end, tears in her eyes. I have it on tape. She said, "Thank you for singing that song. I loved Davy. I miss him. I was sad to see him go. And thanks again for singing that." And it's like, you know, I'm doing this nerdy thing. And not ironically, mind you, every time I sang that song five times that night, I sang it with intent and purpose. But I treasure that memory as much as I treasure the Monkees, if only because to this woman, I reminded her of the Monkees. And now I am a part of their legacy in her mind, in her story. What an absolute honor. So anyway, this Wednesday, I'm not going to do anything quite as epic. Just one night, one place, one time, I'll sing Daydream Believer and a couple of other songs probably. I'll probably include Different Drum in honor of Mike Nesmith, who wrote the song, famously sung by Linda Ronstadt, of Tucson, Arizona, mind you. So there's a local connection there, as there so often is. But yeah, I'll sing a couple of Monkees songs just to commemorate Davy and Mike and the Monkees as a group and my love of them and what they continue to inspire from me. And since, you know, I'm not talking about that much this podcast, I'll elaborate on that a little bit. People scoff at the Monkees, even still, as that commercially pop band that was one part TV show, one part, fake boy band, basically. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. Yes, these guys were auditioning for a role in a TV show. The Monkees started with an ad in the paper that said, "Hey, you zany boys or whatever, come audition for this thing." These four guys famously became the Monkees, and they played a band in a TV show. And, of course, albums came out to support the music that was featured in said TV show, but the music began to transcend the show so much that after the show's second and final season, the band stayed together, and more albums were released. There was a failed feature-length film, Head. You know, the stories of these guys not playing their instruments in the studio, by the way, like every other band at the time, and many other bands still to this day, these guys weren't playing their instruments, but they fought for their musical rights. So by the time you get to that third album, the third of nine albums produced in about 2.5 years, by the way, tell me another group of musicians that's pulled that off. By the time you get to that third album, these guys have fought for their rights to play the instruments, sing all of the vocals. Even on those first two albums, some of the vocals were not the Monkees, but Boyce and Hart, the producers, Tommy Boyce, Bobby Hart. And by the time you get to the fourth album, you have this wonderful chemistry of the boys doing their own songs, playing their own instruments, alongside studio-provided musicians like the Wrecking Crew, and songs written by other people like Harry Nilsson. And it just created this to me, by the time you get to that fourth album, you have the Monkees. They've fought for their rights, and they're standing alongside the likes of the Wrecking Crew as legitimate musicians, legitimate songwriters, singer-songwriters, singing their own tunes, singing some songs provided to them by the studio, testing out, you know, other people's lyrics and stuff like that. That's the music industry, right? The Monkees epitomized it for a very brief period of time. And I'm inspired by the fact that they were, without a doubt, commercially successful. And they didn't have to fight for that stuff. They could have just been, you know, the boy band of the era, make a couple million dollars and retire to the Poconos or whatever. It was common at the time. But these guys fought for their integrity. And how many musicians do that nowadays? You know, you got a heartthrob like Justin Bieber, whom some may liken to a modern-day Davy Jones, with the girls swooning and cheering. He's getting drunk in alleyways. You see him every day on TMZ. Who's he banging now? You know what Davy Jones was doing at the height of his fame? When he heard that a fan, based here in Phoenix, mind you, got hurt in a car accident, paralyzed, never to use her legs again, he, without press, without paparazzi, flew here to the Valley, visited that fan, and remained friends with her until the day he died in 2012. February 29th, in fact, 2012. That's the kind of stuff those guys were doing with their fame. Innovative to their industry, personal to their fans. Again, the kind of integrity you just don't find anymore. And don't even get me started on Mike and the way he revolutionized the music industry to incorporate video, one of the founding fathers of MTV, if not in corporate practice, then at least in philosophy. You trace it right back to his desire to couple compelling video with his solo releases. Oh man, I could go on forever about this stuff. And maybe I will at Space 55's 7 minutes into the new year this Saturday. Look at that transition. Now I'm plugging an event. I'm going to be one of the presenters at Space 55's New Year's edition of 7 Minutes in Heaven, called 7 Minutes into the New Year, I think, something like that. And so you could find Space 55's Facebook page to see the when, where, ticket prices, availability, stuff like that. But I'm thinking I'm going to talk about the Monkees just because the birthday of Davy and Mike is so close to the end of the year that it often gets lost in the best of lists and the celebratory ball drop and Dick Clark announcing Seacrest and, oh, what's Kathy Griffin going to do to Anderson Cooper this year and blah, blah, blah. You know, the year doesn't end until 11:59 p.m. December 31st. And until that moment, 2015 still has some greatness left. And in my case, some of that greatness involves celebrating two of my lifelong heroes, Davy Jones and Mike Nesmith. So I might do that at Space 55 this weekend. If you're in Phoenix, you want to see a zany variety show. How many times am I going to use that word zany? Check it out. And so that'll be my big plug for this week. And that'll be my podcast as well. I'll wrap it up now by saying, again, thanks for listening. There is more to come in January. And I'm appreciative of the fact that you are paying attention to it. Until next time, this has been my Monday Midday Monologue. Catch you next time.